Today's New Testament lesson is Matthew 17, 1 through 9. Let's hear these words with our full being. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with them. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except for Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. God, your word guides us, so we pray that it guides us today and every day. Amen.
So, we're supposed to talk about this scripture, but all the Sundays to stick to the lectionary text, why did we have to have Youth Sunday with such a difficult passage? It seems so just strange, foreign.
Yeah, but this story seems like a stereotypical Jesus moment, you know, in the movies. This guy opening up, God's voice. I even bet it sounded like Morgan Freeman. I guess the point is, it really makes the differentness of God from humans stand out.
It is also important that the voice proclaims Jesus as God's son. It tells us that although Jesus had a human body and walked among the people of his time, that he's more than human. Jesus is not just from God, he is God.
Didn't we learn about that in confirmation last year, that Jesus is both human and God?
That sounds right, both human and God. But I wonder why everyone's so afraid whenever God comes around. Like in this story, it happens all the time.
It sounds like aliens coming down to Earth in the movies. It's something completely unexpected. Wouldn't we all be afraid?
Yeah, but when you're a disciple who spends your whole life learning to understand, at times decipher, and most of all spread the word of God, it should come as no surprise to you that God has decided to speak to you on many different occasions. When you put this into perspective, it should be an honor to be spoken to by God, something that you anticipate and wait for your whole life, not something which should mortify you every time it happens.
Yeah, I think the idea of God speaking to us isn't so crazy. It would be an extra helping hand to lead us in the right direction. It might scare some people at first, but then so does the idea of a God. If we believe in God, then why can't he speak to us? He often does anyways. He speaks to us in many ways, guiding us towards certain things, and his voice is with us. God calls us to be there so that he may speak through us. The idea of him speaking isn't scary, because we've already done it.
True. I wonder why Jesus would say to tell no one about the vision. Does he want to prevent the rest of the world from experiencing the short period of fear which comes, like it did for the disciples, after hearing the words of God? Does he want to try to earn the trust of everyone on his own without the endorsement from God himself? Or does he not want to reveal his resurrection before it occurs to anyone but his disciples?
Well, maybe he was foreshadowing to the Easter story the amazing surprise of the resurrection. I know that we can never know the true mind of God. Maybe this is another example of how God continues to show us that we should expect the unexpected. One of the hard things about faith for me is accepting and believing the things that I can't see. I'm not always sure if the stories are meant to be taken literally, or if it's like my ninth grade English class, and I'm supposed to spend hours digging for hidden meaning. The women who went to Jesus' grave on Easter morning got to see the miracle of the resurrection firsthand. According to Scripture, they saw the empty tomb, so they didn't have to go for a dig. They didn't have to dig for a hidden meaning. In Matthew's scripture today, God tells the disciples through a hole in the clouds that this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. In addition to how scary that must have been, then Jesus tells them that they have to keep it a secret. That would be one heck of a hard secret to keep.
Now, I don't know about any of y'all, but if someone came to me like that and I was as terrified as these people and I was asked to keep a secret, I would take that secret to my grave because I was too scared of what would happen if I didn't.
Yeah, it's a strange thing. I mean, I believe in the promise of the gospel and I try to do the things that Jesus expects of me, but because of my mom dragging me, I have more community service hours than a freshman in history. But God never talks to me through a cloud when I'm out pulling weeds in a community garden. Although the disciples lived in a time where there was no air conditioning, no video games, or fast food, I sometimes envy the way they could experience Jesus firsthand. It might be easier to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our world if we could reach out and touch him. It's like Matthew 25 teaches us that when we serve the poor and hungry, that we are actually serving Christ. But it doesn't always feel that way.
Yeah, let's take a look at Matthew 25, verses 25 through 36. Oops. Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.
Since the passage says we're supposed to listen to Jesus, I think the most important thing for us to get out of this is that we need to expect the unexpected. Listen to the scriptures as a guide for how we should live and be ready to listen to what God tells us, even if he doesn't use a Morgan Freeman voice from the clouds. Generations of Christians have been worshiping God and trying to figure out the Bible, and they never got to the cloud voice. Maybe God is doing what my French teacher does, giving me a little information and expecting me to figure out the stuff on my own. My success at figuring out what my French teacher wants isn't always great, and my ability to know exactly what to believe about Scripture is very similar. I try to listen to the voice in my head that tells me to do what Jesus would do, but it can be really hard. I don't always get it right.
Yeah, I feel like people sometimes use the Bible as an excuse rather than something that instructs us. For example, Southerners back in the 1800s justified slavery by saying it was in the Bible. But it wasn't just back then. Even now, people use the Bible as an excuse. For example, the Bible is often used to justify shunning or being mean to gay people who want to be members of a church family. People who have never read the Bible try to point it to Scripture and say that Jesus didn't like gay people. That just isn't true.
Yeah. And I think people associate themselves with religion without really participating in church or the life of the church. For me, participating in church has always given me a sense of enlightenment and a feeling of well-being. Coming to church and partaking in church-related activities has always been a way for me to feel more connected to God and my religion. And this is an experience that many people are missing out on because they want to be members by association and not participation. While this is not a bad thing by any means, what it can lead to is the misinterpreting of God's word, which, like Zoe said earlier, can lead to conflicting opinions and many different interpretations of the Bible, which miss the point of the scripture altogether. The Bible was never meant to be a divisive force between people, but because people have failed to gain their own understanding of what it says because they've never truly read it, that's what it is becoming. I think it's something that should make a difference in our lives.
Yeah, I thought that our mission trip to Asheville Youth Mission last year was a really good way for us to do things for our community, even if it wasn't our own. I think that it helped us show what some people have to deal with every day in big cities and even smaller ones.
Right. These mission trips that we go on are not just for ourselves, but they are so God may speak to people in need. As people of faith, it is our duty to be a messenger to everyone, sharing that God cares and is listening. We experience that and we share it in many ways.
During our time going through confirmation, I think that some of the classes we did really helped everyone to learn about the church and learn what we think about it as well. The confirmation retreat was a nice way to get away from the city and think instead of having to deal with the nearly constant noise.
Yeah, it sounds like Montreat too. Last summer when I went to Montreat Youth Conference, I was overwhelmed by how many other high school Christians there were. One of the things we did that had the greatest impact on me was the daily small group gathering. We were mixed up with kids from all across the country so that you don't know anyone in your group. Nobody knew you, and you were completely free to talk about whatever you wanted to, and none of your friends or family back home would know about it. I'm one of those people who usually tells it like it is, and I'm not at a loss of words, usually. Some of the kids in the group had a harder time, and some of them were keeping secrets bottled up that they really needed to share. One kid from another state told us that he was gay and that he was afraid to tell anyone. He couldn't tell his family or the people in his church because he was afraid they wouldn't accept him. We all encouraged him to trust God and to be honest and know that God made him the way he wanted him to be. I'm looking forward to going back to Montreat this year. I know that God expects us to join together and worship, study scripture, and even just to have fun.
I think the youth group is a very good way for us to get to know each other and should continue to happen. Each week, we all do something fun while also doing activities that will help us understand the Bible or bring us closer to the church.
Wow, we came up with all of that just from looking at one passage. That seemed pretty boring before.
Morgan Freeman, voice or not.
It really is something when we think about what it means to listen to God and to hear God through the noise.
Amen.